Yeah, the agenda, what I'd like to do is, we'll have public hearing, work session on SCR one. Then we'll introduce a couple of committee measures, and then we'll have the testimony on, term limits. So Anthony, come on up, give us a short.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, briefly, my name is Anthony Beta. I am Intergovernmental Relations Manager for Lane County, based in Eugene. And just wanted to express, our appreciation for your committee taking a look at this resolution that would help us commemorate the 150-year anniversary of the formation of Lane County, which will be commemorated tomorrow in Lane County at the Board of Commissioners meeting. Thank you.
Okay. This sounds like fun. Questions? All right, we'll close the public hearing. Open the work session on SCR one.
I move SCR one, Mr. Chair, to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves SCR one to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Lane County, everything okay? All right, hearing no objections, so moved. And Senator Beyer will carry.
Yeah, great. He's not even here.
Lane County, yeah. He's just, like, you take that back to the county commission. Yeah. All right. We'll open the work session on introduction of committee bills.
What's the move?
Sorry? Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, I move the following bills be introduced as committee measures. Would you have me read these into the record, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, please, just read them off.
LC 40, LC 340, LC 392, LC 1246, LC 1299, 1452, 1784, 2086, 2077.
Thank you, Senator Courtney. Senator Courtney moves LC drafts 40, 340, 392, 1246, 1299, 1452, 1784, 2086, and 2087. Be introduced as committee measures. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Objection, yes, Senator Menace.
Well, could I have an explanation of LC 40? Is that a revenue raise?
Mr. Chair, this is a constituent request by the the 82nd Avenue Business Association.
Is it a revenue raising measure?
I don't believe so, because my understanding is the legislative council would have required to start it in the House.
Well, that's the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah, they'll be referred to the appropriate committees, and if that's your question, I said, I'm calling these just a matter of courtesy, whether we like them or not. We'll just.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Senator Brown's bill.
All right. Is that yours?
You got to get him in the system.
I want to make the minority leader happy.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. All right, we'll open the public hearing on testimony on term limits. What we're trying to do is something a little bit non-standard. We're just looking for an information day. We've called around, asked people if they want to talk about term limits. Just to hear what you had to say, and it would possibly give the committee some direction. So I think it's pretty important that you tell us what's on your mind. I think we have a scheme of things. We can do nothing, or we can throw it out, or we can modify it to some extent in the middle. So you know, make sure that we're clear of where you're coming from on some of those options. So without further ado, let's see. Mark Nelson. Mark's not here, is he?
No.
Okay. Representative, is it Marsh?
Steve March.
Steve March.
March.
I have nothing to, I was here for, to listen to the discussion.
Oh, okay. Todd McCauley? Hi.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Todd McCauley, and I am here on behalf of my organization, U.S. Term Limits. I'm also here on behalf of some local grassroots groups that were not able to appear because of the shortness of time they were given to come to the committee. They weren't able to get time off work.
Yeah, and I apologize for that. Yeah, this is the first one that we'll be having discussions. We go, okay.
Certainly. In 1992, the voters of Oregon passed term limits on the state legislature by an overwhelming vote of 70%. Recent polls have shown that voter attitude hasn't changed, and in fact, has strengthened over the years. The voters have seen the term limits in effect over the past few years and like what they have seen. They believe term limits has been a good thing for the legislature. In short, they like what they see and they like the job the legislature has done under the last few years in term limits. While we recognize that term limits does cause a temporary disruption when the balance of power shifts every few years and it adds to the burden to the legislators, we feel this is a small price to pay when we're able to get new people with new ideas in the legislature who would not otherwise have an opportunity to serve. Term limits continue to enjoy strong public support. It's our belief any attempts by the legislature to change, alter, or thwart what they clearly want will be looked upon with great skepticism and will increase the already high level of cynicism voters feel about politicians and elected officials. You won't see big businesses, special interests, and lobbying firms defending term limits. They are the ones who normally benefit when the power and decision-making process is held by the few members in the leadership of the legislature. But you will hear from the constituents and the voters who would, I think, be strongly displeased if the legislature takes action on term limits. Our group, U.S. Term Limits, will help and assist local grassroots efforts to ensure that the voices of the people of Oregon are heard and respected. We strongly urge this committee not to push for any legislation on term limits and let the will of the voters continue to speak. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here at this hearing.
Are you the state chair or what?
I am the Western Regional Director for U.S. Term Limits.
Director of the U.S. Term Limits.
Yes. Okay.
Have you guys had any discussions of any possible modifications, i.e. keeping the cap but fiddling with the inside?
We feel if anything that should be modified, it should be done through the initiative process, that signature gathering.
From outside
and not through the legislature. I feel, and our organization feels, it would be strongly viewed upon as self-serving if the legislature takes action in any way on this issue.
Are you guys willing to do something like that?
No, we at this time feel that the current limits are fine, they're working, and the voters and the people continue to support it.
Okay. Questions, Senator Menes?
What's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Todd McCauley.
Todd McCauley.
It's McCauley.
How did you get involved with U.S. Term Limits?
I worked for a member of the state legislature out in California. They've been under term limits for many years. And some of my friends and colleagues at the Capitol knew some people in the organization, and they interviewed me. I've always supported term limits and liked the idea, and they liked what I had to say and hired me.
Do you like the idea, follow-up question, the idea of a lifetime ban?
I think in some states, like in California, and they do have lifetime bans, and I feel if the voters like the idea, that's fine, and I do personally support lifetime bans as well.
The voters, at what point? When you decide that you're going to do an initiative to either impose one or change one, those voters, or the voters at the time of an election of a member to the legislature? Which set of voters?
The voters, when they...
One and the same?
Well, the voters who voted on the initiative, they knew when the initiative was out there that it was a lifetime ban.
Do you think there's any free speech issue embroiled in it?
Well, we already put some rules and regulations on who can vote and who can run in offices. This is already... Yeah. This is just another... form of
I'm speaking specifically to the lifetime ban.
No, I don't believe that.
So once you've reached that 6 years in the House or 4 years, in, or excuse me, 8 years in the Senate, mm-hmm. or 10 years or 12 years, whichever right. works out, then you think that it's not an position of, it's not a restriction of free speech.
No, the voters have decided that that is a restriction they want to place on running for public office.
Hmm. Interesting.
Senator Beyer. Or Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1992, did you tell me when Oregon adopted our version of term limits, could you tell me how many choices the voters had with respect to how that limit was imposed?
I assume
options besides the one that was adopted.
I assume the grassroots organizations gathered signatures and placed their initiative on the ballot. I assume it was just the one initiative.
You'd be correct. So it is, at least in my judgment, it's pretty hard to say whether or not, I would suggest to you that had another version, simply a straight 12-year limit, been placed on the ballot, that the mood of the public was such that it would have been adopted.
That I can't answer. I can't speak for what the voters' intent were, or what was placed on the ballot is what they looked at, and if someone else wanted to put another initiative on there, it would certainly be their right.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have confidence that the citizens of Oregon still want to impose term limits?
According to our recent polling that has been done, and I do have copies of polling that was done last week.
And does your information that you have there that shows that voters support term limits demonstrate whether or not their support would be greater or less based on whether or not it was a referral from the legislature or an initiative?
We do have that.
Why would that make any difference? Why would the people of Oregon care how the issue was placed before them as opposed to just exercising their judgment as to what's the best policy?
Because if it comes to the legislature, it is viewed upon as trying to undermine what their intent was. If the voters and constituents want to change it, it should be placed upon them to put it on the ballot for them to look at again.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, and these are the same citizens who sent us here to perhaps exercise some judgment about what we think would be the best way to run this proceeding?
But with regards to the initiatives on these cases, they have clearly stated they want limits on the legislators. They did vote you in office to exercise judgments on state issues, but in this case, it looks as if it will be self-serving if you place it on ballot to extend your own terms in office.
Would it be your recommendation then that no legislator sign one of the initiatives because it might look, oh my gosh, self-serving?
Well, no. I mean, as a citizen, you have a right. You have a right to sign any initiative you see fit. But
that would certainly tarnish the initiative if we were part of it. Right?
I don't think it would. As a private citizen, no. But this is a public institution, and it would seem to come to the legislature, it would be perceived as self-serving if the members of the body vote to put it back on the ballot when there's been no indication from private citizens and from the voters that they want such thing back on the ballot.
One more? Yes. The Western region, I guess, with the U.S. term limits, you're aware of term limit restrictions in the variety of other states that have them, and I'm not sure what the count is.
There are in the U.S. There are currently 19 states that have term limits, Nebraska being the last one who voted in this last election.
And can you tell me how many of the states have what at least I refer to as the internal limits, that being we have the 12-year lifetime, but we also have this other restriction on 3 terms in the House and 2 terms in the Senate?
I can't give you an exact number, no. I mean, I can get that information for you, but I don't have that with me at the time.
Would you mind doing that?
No problem at all.
Do you find that, do you have any impression as to whether or not that is the usual standard imposed by the U.S. term limits crowd, or is
that
just something unique?
Well, it varies from state to state, but there are other states that have the 6 and 8 year limits on each house, and that usually is the norm.
And when you're looking, if I might, Mr. Chairman, for that background information, could you tell us how many other states that are impacted by term limits operate on an every other year basis? Oregon, of course, as you know, is one of 6 states in the United States that operates the way we do that
certainly
every year.
No, I don't have that answer.
So you want the 3-term, 2-term is based on, in most cases, annual legislative sessions.
I don't have that answer with me as well.
That'd be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. McCall, I'm just trying to get an understanding of who U.S. Term Limits is. Is it a 501(c) nonprofit corp?
We are a nonprofit foundation. I'm not exactly sure on our tax status. That's above. Yeah, it's foundation. That's above my pay grade.
And it's a national organization?
Yes, we're privately funded with a citizens in all 50 states donate to our foundation.
So there's no large money going into it? It's all small $50-$100 donations?
It varies. It ranges. I mean, we get donors, you know, large and small, all privately funded in all 50 states.
So you're a lot like many of the other groups in that we see come before us?
I would assume so. I can't answer that intelligently.
Thank you. Mr. Colleen, a question from Senator Menish. You said that you worked for someone who was in the California legislature?
Yes.
And that's, do you live in Oregon today?
No, I do not. I live in Monterey County in California.
Have you ever lived in Oregon?
Have I ever lived in, no, I have not.
I'm just curious. California has a, help me here, because I don't know about California that much. Do they have a full-time legislature?
They do have a full-time legislature.
And do they meet every year?
They do meet every year.
How long do they meet every year?
They meet roughly around 9 months out of the year.
Okay. Do you know, are they paid? Are they paid? Are they volunteers? Do you know?
It's a professional legislature.
What is a professional? What is that?
Well, I mean...
Okay, that's fine. No, I'm not...
No, they have full-time staff members year-round. They have, you know, district office and their full-time legislature. They meet... You know, they don't have separate jobs when they become a legislator. Oh. They become, that's their sole.
How much, okay, I have to ask this question because I'm not single. I have, what kind of income do they make? Do they make any kind of money? Do they get paid a salary?
The legislators?
Right.
Yeah, they make around, I'm not exactly sure on the amount, but it's around $95,000 a year.
Okay. They have cars or anything? I have to admit, as a legislator, I'm interested in other states, and I haven't
stayed.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm state.
So I was curious. So do they have any other things that go along with being a state legislator? I'm just in the state of California. Cars or anything?
Mm-hmm. They're leased the vehicle.
Okay. I want you as a political scientist. I assume you're a political scientist. Of sorts. I mean, you've been around the political process. What is the philosophy behind term limits? I mean, what is that?
We believe that through competition and bringing in new people, it strengthens the legislature and public life. We feel when power is dominated by a few, and when people stay in power long enough, they garner and are able to control and move legislation and not. Being as responsive to the people, they move away from the focus of constituents and the voters, and they move into and they lose touch with the common person. We feel term limits allows people to it allows people who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to serve to serve their state with the power of incumbency so strong it's nearly impossible to defeat an incumbent. And in Oregon, this last election, only one incumbent was defeated in the Senate and in the House.
Here in Oregon?
Here in Oregon, yes. And it's nationwide, it was something in the neighborhood of 98% of incumbents were reelected.
So people being in legislative office for many, many years is what drove this movement, or started, is
certainly
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was it also aimed at the United States Congress? Was that part of your thinking?
Yeah, well, the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court has indicated that states cannot implement term limits on their congressional delegation. That has to be done through a United States amendment to the Constitution.
But do you support term limits for the United States Congress?
Yes, I do.
One last thing I have to ask, since you brought up the fact that what was going on in Oregon in the last session. Have you researched Oregon going back since it was passed in 92, Mr. McCauley? So the 93 session would be the first session of legislators that come under it. And therefore, the 97 session would be the first group that would start to be termed out. If, for example, if you go back to 1937 and use 10-year periods, 37 to 47, 47 to 57, 57 to 67, 67 to 77, 77 to 87, 87, did you research to see what kind of turnover there was happening in the... Are you familiar with what kind of...
I have not, no, sir.
Well, would you let me make a statement for the record?
By all means.
Do you know what the turnover was for each one of those 10-year period was for the House of Representatives in the state of Oregon, which is considered a biannual legislature that is a citizen legislature? Do you know what the turnover was, the lowest turnover in the House was?
I do not have that answer.
It was 80%, 80 to 81%. In other words, that's the kind of turnover. That was the lowest turnover. That is, less than 20% were staying on after 10 years in the House. In the Senate, do you know what was the turnover in the Oregon State Senate?
I do not know.
Around 74%. So that at least 74% of the state senators, in those eight, for every one of 10-year period of times, were naturally turning over either through, because of a citizen legislature, choosing to leave or being voted out of office. That's for each one of those decades in the state of Oregon. So I'm just saying that it is the law of the land. We have to abide by it. But I have to say, Mr. McCauley, at least in this state, the only state I'm familiar with in terms of this, in terms of bringing in new people, having new people come in, which is your impetus, if you go back through each one of those decades, that's the kind of natural turnover that was taking place in Oregon, my Oregon state, truly of a citizen legislature that meets every other year. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I
ask a follow-up? Do you have that same information for how, in those 10-year periods, how long the committee chairmen are staying in power?
I didn't research the committee chairs.
Okay.
I searched because I assumed that you wanted, whether Democrat or Republican, whether rural or urban, whether small time or big time, you want a natural turnover of, as you say, new blood. And so I was curious about how much new blood was flowing into the House and the Senate over each one of those 10-year periods of time.
But if the committee chairmen are the ones who stay the longest, they're the ones who start garnering the power. So it's for all. I mean, a lot of the committee chairmen, and I would assume in those same periods, were in power for longer than those 10-year periods.
Senator Brown.
A couple of questions, Mr. Colley. Your statement is that you want to get more new blood in the legislative process, and I'm just curious as to how many more women and people of color have been elected to the California legislature as a result of term limits.
There has been a dramatic increase in the female and minority representation. The last two of the last three speakers of the California state legislature were Hispanic, the first ones to be elected. Female representation has gone up. I don't have the exact numbers. I can, again, get those for you. But it has increased female committee chairman representation, black African-American representation has gone up. Hispanic female and male representation has increased under the term limits.
It'd be an interesting, if we could get it for all 19 states, is that something that's easily gathered? Or?
I'm not sure easily. It can be gathered.
Interesting information, I think. We can find again.
Another question. Folks have been talking about a proposal, I don't know if it comes within the legislature or outside of the legislature, that would modify so we could do 12 years in either house. And I guess my question for you, would your organization be more likely or less likely to support such a proposal if it affected current membership of the legislature?
As far as would it start the clock over,
mm-hmm.
that we would oppose if any attempts on either side if it started the clock over.
Okay. No, but I mean, if, can I follow up?
Yeah.
Start the clock over. Let's say, for example, the Oregon Business Coalition started an initiative that would allow legislators to serve a total of 12 years in either the House or the Senate, not the 6 and the 8 years. And let's say I've only served 8 years in the Senate, so I could run again in 2004 under that proposal. Would you be more likely to support it if it impacted me, or less likely to support it?
If I'm not quite sure on the question yet. If your 8 years are up in the Senate, and then an initiative passes that allows for a total of 12 years,
nope.
I think we would be more. We still would not support
okay.
that.
You're the leave it alone period.
Yes, yeah. we want the status quo to be maintained.
Senator Mann.
Well, I heard a couple of things: new blood, new ideas, and power. And I'm wondering where do you think the power is in the legislative process? Who has the most power in this process?
What? Ultimately, the voters do, and I know that's the direction going. It's, you know, ideally, I think we'd all agree if the ballot box would be what would be the ultimate term limits. However, in reality, with the power of incumbency and the power of special interest money and the and all of the goodies the members of legislatures have, it's nearly impossible for an average
goodies. please let me know what that is.
Yeah, this is in California.
Yeah, it is not California. Okay, so ballot box.
Well, the problem is the everyday citizen, when looking to make a potential run at an office, sees such huge obstacles, be they the money issue, be they the name ID, and the only way to garner the necessary name ID in this day and age is through television, is to get, you know, to be able to fundraise an incredible amount of money. And most people look at those steep obstacles and decide it's not worth their time or effort.
Let me ask a follow-up question then. Who do you think has the money in this process?
And special interest in the lobbyists.
Right. So why didn't you choose to limit them? Terms of their ability to...
I think that would be difficult to limit the private
but why?
Industries.
What's the reason?
It's the ultimate decision-making power is in the legislators. So,
but why can't you limit the lobby?
That's just not what our organization is.
Well, it gets. I'm leading you down a direction intentionally because the issue is speech. The issue is the ability to speak out, to influence a legislative body, or how about administrators of state agencies? Why not limit them? Do you think they don't have any power?
Certainly.
But why not limit them?
You know, it's the public elected official is the one who is the ultimate.
We're getting some really good ideas here, John.
Well, and actually, I probably would support that.
Well, but see, I'm asking the correct question because I think the U.S. term limits, you know, is a populist idea that's based on a faulty concept. And that concept is that somehow people who've been in a legislative process for a lengthy period of time somehow have some inherent power. But that really doesn't reflect the truth of what the legislative body does. Now, let me get to the other one. How about judges? Why not term limit judges?
That's something to be looked at. It's an issue that you and I don't see eye to eye with on term limits.
Well, maybe you don't know my opinion.
Well, that's true.
I support term limits, but for one thing, and that is the lifetime ban. I personally think that the term limits work. I think a lifetime ban is a substantial imposition of someone's free speech, whether it's the 70-some thousand people who are registered to vote in my district and their ability to choose me as their elected representative or senator, or my speech, my ability to speak out as an elected member.
Mm-hmm.
But it all boils down to that issue and that concept of speech and the ability of those people to make a choice. And what the term limits does is it bypasses elections.
But it is.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Somebody else. I think what we're looking for is to hear what the audience has to tell us. We may or may not change opinions, and that's really not what I'm here for. I want to hear what
Actually,
I'm
doing this for the media here. I want them to report this. I want to get in the press. I want a picture of me.
Let's take Todd. Thanks a lot for coming.
A public flogging.
And the committee, you better be easier on the next witnesses, so we're not going to have anybody come up here.
I do appreciate you allowing me to speak at your hearing.
Okay, we've got we both have each other's names and numbers, and we'll be conversing back and forth as we press ahead.
Certainly.
See what we're doing.
Thank
you very much. Kathy Eaton.
Senator Hopper, many members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity for allowing the League of Women Voters to participate in this discussion. My name is Kathy Eaton. I live in Eugene, and I am the governance chair for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. Right up front, the League opposes term limits. We believe, as has already been stated here, that elections are the way to limit terms. What's happened under term limits is that the ability of voters to choose who they want to represent them has been severely limited, because a voter might choose to continue a representative or a senator because they're doing a good job, but after two terms or three terms, depending on the House or the Senate, they no longer can select that person to represent them in the legislature. And we feel that that's a detriment to representative government as we know it. However, our members who have studied this rather recently feel quite strongly that either in the event of repealing the constitutional provision that we have term limits, we should look at the modification of it. And we would support a lengthening of terms to fill the full 12 years. In other words, 6 terms in the House, 3 terms in the Senate. And our members feel that way because what we've lost is what we're losing very rapidly in this legislature with the senators who will be going out of office this time is institutional memory. The institutional memory is gone. The ability of voters to have their own term limits as they vote is gone. And the ability of legislators who come for short periods of time does not enable them to look with any continuity over long-term public policy. They're here for a short period of time. They have sometimes very strong, narrow objectives and agendas, which they feel they only have a limited time to put into operation. So we believe that, and we hope that this legislature will seriously consider talking and discussing and bringing forward some modification in that 12-year period.
Thank you, Kathy. You'd be happy with a total repeal, but you'll settle for a modification.
Yes, because we at least will add some continuity to decision making.
Some of the questions that crop up when you have this discussion, do you think there's a difference between whether the legislature initiates it or it comes from voter petitions? Do you feel there's a difference there?
I don't believe so. We haven't done any polling, as Mr. McCauley has done, but at least the people that we've talked to are concerned about literally throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And some people simply didn't realize what the impact was going to be when you have, a mass exodus over the last 3 sessions now of people who were respected legislators who can no longer be serving in the legislature. So we think people are willing to look at it, whether it's initiated by the legislature or whether it comes by an initiative.
Just so it gets on the table.
So that people can get it out there and talk about it, yes.
How about an opinion on, Senator Brown asked, is there an opinion on whether sitting legislators is applicable to or not applicable to?
Well, there's ways of doing that when you design the proposal.
Is there one method, or is there one of those options that's better than another, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Senator Miller.
Not a question, just a comment on your last question is that, in my view, there's no one in this process who wouldn't be impacted by the change, be they in their third term in the House, their second term in the Senate. If you're a first-term House member, you're looking at either staying two more terms or potentially five more. So you are directly impacted by any change made to term limits on the interim.
Mr. Chair, that's not true. I'm not impacted because I will be maxed out. I'll have the 12 years, and Senator Gordley's in the same position.
And if you are a second-term House member and you've just arrived,
right,
you will be impacted by the passage of this bill.
Right.
So I think the people you're trying to focus on are those who are in their third term. They would otherwise be out of the House. But I'm just telling you that in terms of one's future calculations, anybody who's currently elected is impacted. So our thought we can avoid appearing self-serving is without merit.
Senator Courtney, Senator Byer.
I basically, everyone's, many people are really terrified of this. If we do put it on the ballot, it's going to lose. Why don't you take the view that I've now reached, that the only way to deal with the thing that's in place is to go to annual sessions, so that at least that state rep who is only going to get 6 years or three general sessions has every year an opportunity to come up to speed. So at least the public can have an advantage of some experience in their part, how they even introduce a bill. And what about that is one way we're going to have to start to move towards, and I've never supported that, well, not recently. I know Senator Miller was there 10 years ago. And if there was a measure placed in the ballot that was barely lost in 1990, I think it was. But why don't you start moving in that direction as a way to give these people, these House members in particular, who are going to be there for all of 24 hours and they're gone, an opportunity to get a little more experience?
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney, the League supports annual sessions. We think that the business of the legislature and the extent of state government these days really mandates that the legislature be expanded to deal with the problems that there are in the state. And certainly what you propose is an option to give some continuity over a period of time.
And we're going to have a day like his on that coming up. Thank you. Senator Byer?
Well, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, I think the point you were trying to make when people talk about that timing issue and the self-serving nature of it, it's really if the legislature were to refer a measure, the question of when do you put it on the ballot? And where that usually comes up is if you're talking about putting it on this year before the filing deadline, then people who would be term limited under the current law would have a chance to run again if the public say decided that. The alternative to that would be to, if you're going to put a measure on, to put it on in either the primary or the general election. If you chose that date, then people who were termed out would not have a chance to run in that next election cycle, although they could run in subsequent ones until they got the 12 years of the public interest. So I think that's where that one's going. That's the trade-off that's there.
Okay. Senator Brown?
You know, the other thing that I think people need to keep in mind, is that when we're talking to term limits, and my personal view is it doesn't have a big impact on the Senate because we're seeing a progression from the House to the Senate. It's the problem comes in the House, and the people, because for the most part people don't understand the structure of how the legislature works, they're not supposed to necessarily under our system of government. That's why they elect representatives. But really you're talking about people who get to serve 18 months. By and large, not 6 years, because you don't do 6 years. We all know that the interim is dead time, and we're just sitting around waiting for the next session. At least that's the way it's been the last decade or so. So it's really that period of time, unless you went to an annual session. So I think there is some merit to that discussion.
Well, I think, you know, just personally, what it's worth, you know, I'm one of 91 opinions around here, but I'm a very passionate, ardent term limit supporter. Seeing it's very difficult to run this joint from the House perspective with this current mix, so that's
something that we just want to take a look at as far as running the operation.
You may be the only one, Mr. Chair, on this panel who would be affected by term limits.
As far as I know, I'm the only supporter of it.
Actually, I support term limits.
Okay. Not in the current form.
Anything else for League of Women Voters? Okay. Kathy, thank you. Mark Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson, Public Affairs Counsel. From the lobby side, I've been involved with this issue since last session in an effort to try to place before the voters a measure that I believe could pass. Personally, I would like to see term limits eliminated entirely, but at this point in time, I don't think that's possible. We have, as part of a growing group within the lobby, we have worked with many of you, both Republicans and Democrats, on trying to forward some type of proposal. I thought it might be helpful today to bring you some survey research data from 2 years ago. Some of you have looked at this before. I won't get into, per se, the actual numbers, but just talk about the general thrust of it. You've talked a little bit about legislatively referred or voter referred. From my personal point of view, I don't think it makes any difference. I think that if you had a blue ribbon committee that had a lot of opinion leaders throughout the state participate in developing some type of proposal and presenting that to the public, either back through a voter referred or back through the legislature, I think that may add credence to whatever proposal that they should come up with. But in the end, I don't think the voter pays, and I haven't seen in my history of managing ballot measure campaigns that they really really look at whether it's voter approved or legislatively approved. The survey that we conducted 2 years ago was a sample size of 400 statewide registered voters in between April 2nd and April 6th. Margin error was up 4.9%. We asked a question and we explained the current system, stating that state legislators are limited to 6 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate with a maximum of 12 years total. And we asked them, would they favor or oppose amending that term limits law so that legislators can serve 12 years? And the way we termed it was in either House. And in looking back, I think there may have been some confusion there, but it was slightly opposed. We had about 12% undecided, and that proposal was just slightly opposed. We then read them the actual ballot title from former Speaker Snodgrass's proposal that would have gone to, I believe, would have gone to the people. And with that ballot title, we asked them, if the election were held today, would you favor or oppose the measure? And basically, it was even, Stephen. It was 40, I'll give you the numbers, 45-44 favoring. So it was just a toss-up. We then came back in because we were trying to get at whether this whole issue of setting aside whether there's a political advantage to one party or the other between whether you go early and save the class or you go late and don't save the class. We're trying to get at the issue of how do they feel about their own legislator. And so we first started by asking if you knew one version of this 12-year term limits proposal would allow current legislators who are serving in their last term under the existing term limits law to serve at least one more term, would you favor or oppose the measure? Support for the measure went up slightly. If you knew another version of this 12-year term limits proposal only applied to new legislators and would not apply to current legislators who are serving their last term under the existing term limits law, would you favor or oppose? The opposition went up 20 points. Okay. So clearly they were saying that if it was only limited to the new to new legislators as opposed to current legislators that were in their last term, they would increase their opposition to the proposal. Okay. Now, again, you're assuming that these kinds of arguments would be made in a campaign. Next question was, if you knew with the passage of this proposal, you could retain your own present legislator for no more than 12 years of legislative service in that person's lifetime, would you favor or oppose? The response, again, was slightly favoring over the original who's ahead. So very similar to the first question where we said you could save current legislators, and now we're saying you can save your current legislator. That's the difference between the two questions. Responses were pretty much the same between those two, favoring going up slightly. Okay? Then we ask from, a little bit different angle and different perspective, if you had to choose, do you prefer to modify existing term limits in the Oregon legislature to allow a maximum of 12 years of service in one lifetime for new legislators only, or do you prefer to modify existing term limits for both existing and new legislators? 70% said both existing and new legislators. Only 11% said new. Now, again, what we're trying to do is to take a look, again, devoid of the politics of saving a new class, is what the public, how they felt about saving current legislators, saving their own current legislator, and then the choice between a system that saves existing and new, or for both new and existing and only new. And it was, quite honestly, quite surprising, especially that last number. So from a strictly, and this is a very, very, I wouldn't even call this a benchmark. It's a very, very limited look-see that we went out on a piggyback and did. We are looking at doing something much more exhaustive in this area, and we'd probably come back and revisit some of these as well as many, many other kinds of issues, and we're in the process of looking at doing that. But I thought that might give you some perspective. Again, it's 2 years old. From my perspective, I think these numbers only get better or higher. I think slowly the public is beginning to understand the impact of term limits, and I think they're beginning to question as to why they have it if they, in fact, aren't the final arbiter of who serves and who doesn't serve. But I'd be happy to answer any questions.
What's your gut on just total repeal?
Well, I would like to believe, and I'm not sure it's coming from a pollster or my bias as a lobbyist, that the public would look at total repeal. There is a problem in describing to the public in an effective way in a campaign the difference between the current 12-year lifetime limit with the sub-limits and what you're going to. That's strictly a campaign problem. And I believe that the 12-year lifetime with no sublimits would pass. Is that good public policy? Personally, I think no. Is the other better public policy, is that capable of being passed? I'm not sure. But it's something we'll test.
Senator Brown.
Two questions, Mark. One is your gut reaction on whether Oregon voters would be more likely to pass a legislative referral or a voter-driven initiative on this, on the modification issue.
Well, as I indicated earlier, I don't think it makes any difference. I really, really don't. I mean, I've seen both pass and I've seen both fail tremendously. I don't think people look at it as self-serving. If you look at these numbers, absent any other benchmark data, if I was just looking at this and had to go run a campaign on this, my campaign would be save the people we have. Save your legislator. Give yourself the option of saving both, which I think cuts through the self-serving argument. Because they're saying here they want the option of saving both, or having both, new and existing, especially their current.
Mr. Chair. Sort of false. Your sort of gut end is this totally guesstimate in terms of how much money it would cost for someone like Greg Clapper to come in and defeat a measure like this that affects current membership?
Oh.
Yes.
I think from a campaign point of view, I think Mr. Clapper or term limits could be reasonably effective with $200,000 to $500,000. It's a tough campaign with opposition. Absolutely no question about it. And that's not a lot of money in a ballot measure campaign. But it's easier spent on the no side.
question. Do you know how much was spent? I think it was ballot measure 79 on the measure that would have increased signatures for the Constitution.
Just about, Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, about $80,000.
Anything further?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can we get a copy of that survey? Is that proprietary?
I'm a client, and I have one other person who's a client, so I have to check to see if the other person...
I mean, if it's a big deal, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we can.
Okay. Thank you. David Buchanan. Yeah, so it doesn't matter. We got all the numbers now anyway, so be a hero.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Committee. My name is David Buchanan. I'm the Executive Director for Oregon Common Cause. Common Cause is opposed to term limits. We had a significant debate in our organization a few years ago before the term limits law was enacted. A number of our board members raised the arguments in favor of it. Others advocated against it, and our board decided to oppose term limits after our debate on the subject. When the voters enacted the term limits law, it was under some different circumstances than we face today. And many points have been made and talked about in this committee earlier, but one hasn't. And that is one of the key reasons for the term limits law to have passed when it did had a partisan basis. At the time that that law was put before the voters, the legislature had been under the control of the Democratic Party for a number of terms. A significant number of voters were voting for term limits on a partisan basis, saying that if the only way to change the leadership in the legislature is to impose term limits, well, the voters, in their wisdom, changed the leadership before term limits took effect. So that reason for voting for term limits was suddenly taken away. And I think that that was a significant percentage of the voters who were voting yes for it. I think that other voters who voted yes for it have also learned from experience, and I think that Mr. Chairman, you represent a category of people who've kind of learned a little bit more of the dynamics of what term limits would do once they're implemented.
Toaster boy.
So I think that that also affects a significant number of the...
You want to be the poster boy. We can make you the poster boy.
And how much would the campaign to make you a poster boy cost?
A lot of airbrush time.
When the voters have learned the experience of seeing the results of the legislative sessions, I think that to a certain extent new blood is a good idea. I think Senator Courtney effectively pointed out that the fact that there always has been new blood in the legislature, one of the reasons for the term limits argument to gain ascendancy was the fact that the voters really weren't focused on who the legislators are as a whole. They would focus on a few, in effect, poster boys for why we should have term limits. And the other thing that the voters had in mind was the U.S. Congress and not the state legislature. So I think that there were a significant number of factors that caused the vote to go the way that it did when it did that are now different. The U.S. Congress, as the courts have ruled, can't be changed by passing a state initiative. The consequence of how the legislature operates with its greater than previous turnover in terms of leadership and early in the discussion you talked about committee chairs, and I think that the fascinating question would be, has there been a committee chair who has acquired a dictatorial power over their committee over time? I can't recall any such circumstance or even hearing about such a circumstance of a committee chair accumulating so much power through seniority that they would then be a virtual dictator. The legislative leadership and the committees are a product of the legislators themselves. If the legislators themselves reelect a certain leader or committee chair, then they express their appreciation of the work that's been done rather than being subject to dire influences that have been brought to bear on them to kind of coerce them to renew somebody's power against their good judgment or against their will. So I think it's more problems that were mythical or never existed or just a certain level of anti-government angst that caused the term limits to be enacted. I think that there's a significant amount of change of opinion and change of information that's occurred in the meantime, so that I think that if the voters had the option of voting on a modified term limits, I think that there's a lot of reason to believe that it would be a successful proposal. One other issue that was brought up several times was whether it would make a difference whether the legislature or the people initiated the matter. And I think that the opinions can vary, but the track record is that legislatively initiated ballot measures have a higher passage rate than initiatives initiated from the voters. The legislative ballot measures are generally about 60% plus, and the citizen initiatives have a much lower percentage of passage in the 30 to 40% range of passage of successful initiatives. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them.
So a modification versus a total repeal is what you'd be most comfortable with?
Absolutely. The idea of making these changes as abruptly as it was imposed on us, I think that maybe backing down a little bit would probably be more efficacious
and
than trying to...
And the issue about booting out the senior class or retaining everybody, does that seem to be an issue?
That's the kind of small-scale detail that insiders would probably focus on, and in fact, when the voters voted for term limits, I doubt if you could find one in 100 that would have been aware of the internal limits when they were voting on it.
That's a good point. Okay. Questions for comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the only people we have signed up. Anybody else want to come up here and talk informally? Or are you all a bunch of strap hangers?
What's a strap hanger? What is that?
It must be a flight drone.
Speak now. Okay, thank you very much. With that, we will close the public hearing. And open a work session. Just chat for a minute. We got 5 minutes. Anybody?
Just some observations.
Observations. Observations, thoughts, feelings.
You're not alone in sort of liking tremendous. I actually think that there is some reason for it. My personal preference would be for 12 years, but not lifetime, because I think the best example is someone coming back later in life and serving admirably is Senator Hardtung. I think he's done a good job, but the reality is that it is very hard to beat an incumbent, and you sort of hit a point of diminishing returns in there after a point. If you can't do it in 12 years, you probably aren't going to do it in one period of time. So I like that, but I think clearly from my experience of serving in both chambers that the House has some real organizational problems now. It's just the fact of the matter is you can't get up to speed that quickly, given the fact that we're doing biennial sessions. An observation from the gentleman from Term Limits talked about the raising of money. I would just observe that since we've gone into term limits, the cost of campaigning has catapulted, and I think the influence of the lobby has probably increased just the inverse of what people think. And the reality is it's been my observation is that when a new legislator, when a legislator is most dependent on the lobby is after their first run when they don't know anybody else and they don't know what's going on. And the longer you're here, frankly, I mean, the reality is that the lobby sort of bets on who they think is going to win the next election cycle, and that sort of favors the incumbents. So you get to a point where you don't really have to work too hard at it after you've been here a while, and that sort of gets to a diminishing returns also.
You think there's a correlation, that fundraiser, that money spent, you think there's a correlation? Have you seen some information on that?
Well, correlation is the first time you run, if you got two people who haven't run before out there, they got to spend a whole lot more money.
Yeah, okay.
To get there, and the energy behind the political machines on both sides, I mean, this isn't partisan, both sides, I mean, we treat the electoral process like a football game, and both captains are trying to win the damn game, and they spend a lot of money to get there, and people are betting on
war.
It. War.
War? Go around.
Oh, it's just Randy waiting.
Your turn.
Mr. Chairman.
I appreciate the testimony, and the I authored, as you may know, a bill in 1991 for a 12-year limit.
Oh, yeah?
And no internal limits. The legislature at that time, I think, was paying attention to a national movement, but decided to resist that particular form. And then along came this other form, and perhaps was a boilerplate from a national office or whatever it might have been. But it was the only choice Oregon voters had, and they adopted it. And I continue to think that if they retreated to a discussion as to what the impact of the internal limits meant, if they were of the understanding, and some people, remarkably or not, of the opinion that we're here every other year. I can't tell you how many people I run into when we're out of session that
want to do a hell of a
Portland.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be at the Capitol? And I say, no, we left there a year ago. But if Oregon is, as I stated earlier, fairly unique, one of six states that meets every other year, and this particular limitation, at least the internal limits of the House and the Senate, does not make any sense here. And it creates problems, as Senator Beyer suggested. I'm encouraged by the polling information saying that there are actually some people who'd like to save their own legislators. Now that Senator Courtney is interested in the annual session bill, if we can get the California pay scale. But my principal point in all this, and I appreciate the League of Women Voters testimony as well, and the comment about it, is this is good policy to the extent we can make these changes, or we can deliberate whether or not we would allow somebody after 12 years to come back. That's a discussion we can have. But if we even started at keeping the 12-year limit in place, keeping the time clock that started in 1992 continuing to run, I think that that would keep faith with a number of voters who still believe that term limits are the right thing. I think it is absolutely in our best interest and the best interest of the state of Oregon to change the internal limits, and it's my view, the sooner the better. I concur with those who say it doesn't make a dime's worth of difference whether it's by initiative or by this legislature. I have confidence that the people of Oregon can read the bill, hear the ads, make their decision based on the bill in front of them, not from the source from which it was derived. And so it's my view, we ought to do this thing, and we ought to get it on this May's ballot.
Senator Minnis.
Pass.
Senator Brown.
Pass.
Chicken.
I don't think my position has changed any from last year when we were on this issue, put it on the November 2002 ballot. Let as many voters as possible vote on it, and see what happens. But I am concerned if it goes down, because my guess is we will be dealing with it again for the next 20 years, maybe 10. So.
And that was your position last session?
Yeah.
Put it out.
I don't. I'm concerned about it impacting current membership. I think that's a problem. I think it's a much more, it's an easier campaign to run against than one that doesn't impact current membership. So, November 2002.
Still want to pass?
I've got lots of things to say, but.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thursday we'll do initiatives. If there's some tweaking we might want to think about it for initiatives, we'll do that. And annual sessions coming up probably a week from today. Okay.
What are we going to do? Pay raises for legislators.
Pay raises.
I don't know what that discussion.
Four sessions over, and with that we're adjourned.